Hello everyone, this is your host, Cobra Number One, and you are listening to The Brutal Truth here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network. Make sure you get at me at Cobra_org, that's my Twitter handle, and then you can also get at me on my email, cobra.org@mail.com. The Brutal Truth is a show where I give you my thoughts and opinion on the system of racism, white supremacy, in under 10 minutes. I try to keep it under 10 minutes, but, you know, you could give or take a few extra minutes. But today I want to talk about, I guess, refinement. Because I just saw a very good example, a good case in point of refinement that I would like to share with you all. And it's a story that's been going on in the news revolving our national security actions, our national security policy. Okay, so I kind of touched on this, I think, a few shows ago, but it's definitely worth reiterating. Now, Donald Trump, President Trump, he launched an attack against a Syrian airbase. Now, the supposed reason is because he was so saddened and so alarmed and hurt from the brutality of the Syrian regime, how they could kill all those children, all those innocent little children in those chemical attacks. So he had to respond because, you know, that's what a decent human being would do, you know, in the interest of justice. You know, you fight fire with fire. You know, you have some brutal dictator, so-called dictator, in the Middle East killing children with chemical weapons. By the way, chemical weapons he did not design, white people created. But anyway, you have a brutal dictator killing innocent children, innocent men and women with chemical weapons. You have to respond. All right, so everyone gets that, gets the sentiment of that idea. Now, let's talk about refinement, folks. What is refinement? What has your host been telling you about refinement? Refinement is the act of deception in the interest of maintaining dominance. See, you got to go to the website. You got to understand these terms, because without these terms, you won't understand what I'm saying. But I'm talking to you about refinement. Refinement is the act of deceiving in the interest of maintaining dominance. This is what white people have been doing. This is what they do continuously, 24 hours, 7 days out of the week. And this is what black people do not understand. Now, many black people looked at the coverage of the Syria crisis and they took the news media's word for it. Whatever the explanation was, that worked for black people. So the media is saying that Trump launched a limited strike against Syrian airbase in response to chemical weapons being used. Black people watching the coverage ate that up, and they are eating that up. They are, you know, we are accepting that as true, because most people around the planet are accepting it as true, because most people do not critically think. However, here on The Brutal Truth, we're going to expose these people for exactly what they're doing. Now, remember refinement. Now, let me ask you this, and we have to be clear. Do you think Donald Trump, President Trump, is not, do you think that he's lacking intelligence? Not do you support him? Not do you think he's stupid, or not, you know, not do you like him, but do you think that he is lacking intelligence, basic intelligence? Now, we're going to be fair. We have to say, no, he is not lacking basic intelligence. The man can read. The man can write. You know, he has basic thinking skills, obviously. You know, he may be what some would call a jackass, or a person that's not very likable to some people. But in terms of just his ability to just do basic reasoning, just to think and just to comprehend things at a basic level, does he have this capability? And the answer is yes. Now, here's where I'm going. Do you think that Donald Trump, President Trump, or anybody for that matter, with just basic comprehension, is not able to comprehend the atrocities going on in Syria. Hell, the atrocities going on around the world every single day. So what is different between, you know, 50 to 100 people being gassed 2 weeks ago as opposed to people just being killed unjustly in general, including in this war that's been going on for 6 years? A war that he definitely has been aware of to some extent, because he's even made comments in the press about President Obama's involvement in this conflict. So he, on some level, he's been aware of what's been going on in Syria. And, you know, if you haven't been living up under a rock, and if you are as old as someone like he is, you understand what death is, you understand what war is, you understand what civil war is, you understand what that looks like on some level. So the mere fact that all of a sudden he's so shocked by these chemical attacks should, to someone that's critically thinking, just conjure up some red flags in your head. It's not panning out. Because, well, why aren't you so concerned about the attacks, the number of attacks that go on every single day? Why? What's so special about this attack? By the way, used weapons which were used by people that look just like you, that made them and that sold them. Now I'm talking about these chemical weapons. No Syrians make no chemical weapons. Now, refinement. The Russians supposedly, after the deal with President Obama, they supposedly went into Syria and they supposedly got rid of Syria's chemical weapons. Now, I want you to notice one thing here, and I don't want to go off too much on a tangent. Look at the dynamic. President Obama drew the red line against Syria about 3 years, 4 or 5 years ago, 2013. President Obama, blackface, in a high place, but he's a blackface on white. He was a blackface on white supremacy. So Obama was speaking for white supremacy, but this was white people and white policy saying these non-white people, dictating to these non-white people when they can and can't use certain weapons. And this is not this is not me advocating the use of chemical weapons, but I am just pointing out who's calling all the shots here. So on the one hand, you have the West, crackers here in the West, using a black face, Obama, drawing a red line in the sand, saying, hey, you non-white people, you're not going to use chemical weapons. And if you do, we're going to respond. And then on the other hand, here in the West, you had a deal made between the West and Russia, the East. Again, white people, just some more white people. But there was a deal struck between the West and the East. The East, Russia, so-called being an ally of Syria. See, the United States and the West in general, we generally have not been allied with Syria in a long time. And so Russia has filled the vacuum as the other major opposing but still white power that has aligned itself with Syria. So now you have two white powers sitting down and breaking bread and pretty much dictating laying out all the terms. And then you have these non-white people caught between the middle, basically waiting to be told what to do. The deal was brokered, folks, in 2013 that these people will not have chemical weapons. So the Russians were charged with making sure the Syrians, being the parent state, because that's what it is, being the parent state of Syria, Russia was charged with ensuring that their quote unquote client, that's what they're calling them in the media, the Syrians, the Russians' client, trying to make them sound dignified. The Russians were supposed to make sure that the Syrians abided by international law, abided by what the cracker said, which is that they had to get rid of all their chemical weapons or else. Fast forward to 3 days ago. So, conveniently, some chemical weapons are used from Syria under the so-called watch of the Russians, and then which gives in turn gives a reason for Trump, for the United States, for the West to respond. Now, focus, remember I said refinement. What is refinement? The act of deceiving in the interest of maintaining dominance. The official story is that Donald Trump, oh, he has such a big heart. Oh, he's such a nice, good Christian little cracker. Oh, he was just so hurt by seeing all these non-white people suffering from these chemical weapons. He just had to do something. But see, you have to learn how to exercise that miserable brain of yours, that miserable Negro brain of yours. Negro, because that's what it's been trained to be, a Negro brain. See, Negroes don't think. Negroes just do what they're told. But now you have to learn how to think outside the box. Now, ask yourself, what are the interests and is it possible? Okay, now you look at the actual event, the so-called story is that he was upset. So he wanted to get back at the Syrians to let them know, hey, this is not going to be tolerated. But yet, and this should conjure up more red flags, the attack did virtually nothing. It didn't even destroy not one single airplane, I'm told, that can be used to fly off from that base and drop more chemical weapons. So the attack, what did it do? The attack just damaged, very minimum damage, some non-essential property on this airbase. I don't even think there were any casualties. Not a single loss of life. Not that that's what we're looking for. But the idea is that, oh, but he's supposed to be so mad, so upset. And he's supposed to be wanting to teach these Syrians a lesson. Now, so that should bring up red flags to your head. Conjure up red flags in your mind. Also, remember, the Russians are still in Syria. They are in fact controlling the Syrian regime. Russia has all the power. They are the parent state of the Syrians. Do you think? Oh, and by the way, Russians were at this airfield where these chemicals are supposedly housed. Okay, so do you think that that with Russia being in the country and with Russia being charged with making sure they get, you know, the Syrians got rid of all their chemical weapons, do you think that the Russians would not know that A, the Syrians still had chemical weapons, and that B, that the Russians would not be aware of a chemical weapons attack by the Syrian regime? Does that even sound logical to you? Here you have a man whose entire government is the, you know, his not even just his government, but his survival at this point, because there are people looking for his ass. Do you think that someone in that kind of position is going to be able to just on a whim just say, you know what, I'm feeling like I got a big pair today. I'm going to go and use some chemical weapons on these miserable non-white people up in the north or wherever those people were subjected to that harsh and just terrible treatment. That don't even make sense. You know that the Russians knew what was going on. You know they did. And let me ask you this, because we're talking about refinement. If President Trump, you know, he did not destroy any crucial, weaponry. He did not destroy any airplanes. He did not destroy anything of significance with the attacks that were launched. So ask yourself, truly, what was the goal of the attack in the first place? What did it do? This is what it did, folks. Prior to the attack, what was the biggest news story in the news concerning the White House? The president's connection to Russia. That was the biggest story. That was the focus of the entire planet on the corruption in the White House because it's looking more and more like every single day that there was definitely some nefarious dealings going on between the Russians and the White House, the Trump administration. Who benefits from an attack that does nothing, of any kind of significance? Who benefits? The United States, well, no, let's be specific. President Trump and his administration benefits, and the Russians benefit. And caught in between the middle is the Syrian regime. Like I said before, they really have no, no kind of a dog in this fight at all. They are clinging on to Russia, that government, because they have no leverage. They are done. So they are of none factor at all. So just X them out of your mind. Who benefits from an attack that seemingly does nothing? President Putin and the Russians and the Trump administration. You see, now, and see, and this is refinement. They are deceiving you. They are telling you that, oh, you know, this great Christian, this, oh, Donald Trump, oh, such a moral little president. And then you have Fareed Zakaria. See, people sometimes, he doesn't think. He comes on talking about some now president, something along the lines of President Trump became president with these missile launches. Come on, dude. Like, you're supposed to be a trained foreign policy expert. What the hell are you talking about? You need to rethink your analysis, because you sound like a real fool. You're not reading in between the lines. More than likely, folks, what happened was that President Putin, through back channels, yes, the United States communicates with Russia through back channels. In the military, they call them they call it deconfliction. There are deconfliction channels where there's unofficial communication between the United States military and the Russian military. At the surface level, just to make sure that, you know, if there's any kind of ongoing imminent attack or something like that, that forces that are not intended to be targeted are not targeted. Stuff like that, just to minimize a confusion amongst all the different moving parts and all the gunfire going on in this part of the world. So you don't want to hit unintended targets. Now. So, who benefit? President Trump, this is what happened. Through their unofficial back channels through which they communicate, President Putin on some level was able to get the message to Trump that, hey, this is an out for you and your administration. This is what's going to happen. We're going to make some noise here. We're gonna give you the opportunity to respond and deflect attention away from the issue at hand, which was the relationship, the nefarious relationship between the Trump administration and the Kremlin. It's as simple as that, folks. And you see, you have to ask yourself, okay, so what is the evidence? Always ask yourself when you're trying to scratch beneath the surface and really understand white people's moves, is that number one, is the alternative? Is the alternative to what's being told to you? Is it possible? And then number two, is it likely? And if it's likely, that means that somewhere there's somebody with an interest in the alternative being done. Again, is it possible and is it likely? Meaning that, does someone have an interest in the alternative being done? That's what you have to ask yourself. So you have to understand motives. See, black people don't understand. See, you don't understand that white people operate in the shadows. You can't be so willing to just listen and just take word for word what they tell you. Yes, they lie. They are in the business of lying to you. Don't you understand that? We still have not learned that yet. What's wrong with us? Are we stupid? 500 plus years of dealing with these people has not taught you that these people operate in the shadows. What's wrong with you? Well, here on The Brutal Truth today, I'm taking you to school. Because, see, you're going to learn or you will die. Yes, you will die. It may take 250, 300 plus years, but that doesn't have to be black people in existence. Period. There have been plenty of people that have died off. And if we keep acting stupid and if we don't wake up, we won't be here. There won't be no black people classified as black here in the West. You have to understand white people, which means you have to understand racism, white supremacy. And key to that is understanding that these people operate in the shadows. They always hide. They operate with ulterior motives. You can't take them based on their word. They lie, to put it in layman's terms. And until you understand that, you will continue getting your ass whooped by these people. You have to understand that these people are operating, and they are operating to deceive you. Why? In the interest of maintaining power. And before I sign off, you know, just to give you just some kind of evidence of this, go to any bookstore, and I want you to look in two sections. I want you to observe two sections. Number one, there is a, you know, in any bookstore you go to, there's going to be a great, great deal of the space in the bookstore dedicated to mystery novels. Mysteries. Now, what is a mystery? Usually in a mystery, what's going on is that you're trying to figure out someone did something. But you're trying to figure it out because that someone is operating in the shadows. They are operating in a way in which they're trying to fool you into thinking that maybe someone else did it, that it wasn't them, or that maybe nothing has happened at all. This is the core of what a mystery is. You're trying to figure out who did something nefarious, who did something wrong. And the guilty parties are throwing all types of barriers and roadblocks in the way to deceive you. Now, there's a great deal of space devoted to this type of writing. What does that tell you about the people and how they think? And there's also in bookstores a great deal, a great amount of space allotted to strategic thinking, gamesmanship, the art of war, strategy, tactics. What does that tell you about white people? What are they thinking about? What is on their mind? See, because when you go to the black section of anything, all you see is just nothing but just a bunch of music, some music genres, primarily rap, in which we're doing a whole bunch of talking about what we gonna do and, you know, who we slept with and how much dope we sold and who got shot. And then, you know, you may see some jerseys, so you can buy some LeBron James jerseys. But pretty much you see it's nothing but just black people entertaining white folks in the bookstore, you know, with our books. You know, you see books about black people being victims, being in some urban environment somewhere, trying to so-called make it out, and be successful. Successful according to who? Who writes the rules on success? See? This is your culture. This is what you have for your entertainment. You go into the bookstore. This is the kind of information you have revolving around some people that look like you for the most part. There's some struggle going on. You know, there's some athlete or something that overcomes the odds. Or there's Jamal struggling, you know, in a two-bedroom shack somewhere in some city somewhere, you know, with 12 brothers and sisters. No parents at home. They're strung out on crack or whatever the drug of choice is. These are your stories. This is your literature. A big part of it that if you go to any bookstore, you're going to see. And then you may have some books on some poetry. You know, you may have a little dream speech or something for you to pick up. But again, it's all within the context of being a victim. Now, again, white people. All types of stuff that's attributed to their name. But what we're focusing on today, mysteries and strategy books about tactics, books about gamesmanship, power, books on power, how to influence people. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books like this. And what I'm saying is that this in and of itself is it's indicative of the people, it's indicative of the culture. So we have to understand white people in order to begin to remotely have a chance at countering them. All right, folks, this has been The Brutal Truth. Make sure you get at me on Twitter at cobra_org, or you can contact me by email. That's cobra.org@mail.com. Yes, I do respond, so make sure you get at me on my email or get at me on Twitter. And also make sure that let's start the conversation, folks. Hashtag racism is white supremacy, because that's exactly what racism is. All right, this is your host, Cobra No. 1, signing out. Till next time.